Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
What has happened? We are back for another week. We are on to the divisional round of the playoffs. This slate looks amazing. We got Matty D rocking with us, and we got a special guest, man of his word, driving back from the happiest place on earth, Disney World. He's in a car full of kids, and he's right here. He's talking down the slate. It's D-Bro from the Fantasy Pros. Hope you all are doing well. Chiefs are going to win by 100 this week. How you guys doing?
I'm doing good, guys. Oh man, it's good stuff, man. I'm you know, there's nothing better than talking DFS when you got a car full of kids and you're probably gonna be driving all night. But hey, I'm a man of my word. I said I'd be here, and I wasn't gonna let Kev like talk shit about me not being here. So
did you get any butter beer for the road?
No, I did not, sadly, but I did consume enough to, in Harry Potter that I got a freaking stomach ache. It's so sweet, but it's like, they're like Pringles, man. Like once you like get one, you just keep rolling, man.
Yeah, they're really good. That is a staple of Disney World there.
Yes, sir.
Well, we do have a good slate, and Matty actually has a team, and his Dallas Cowboys rolled on and just beat the hell out of Tampa Bay and the Tom Brady Bucks. So there's two of us here that have teams, and the other one, D-Bro, he's a Saints fan. I mean, God have mercy on his soul because they're terrible. But at least two of us get to have excitement this weekend.
USOB, you had to bring it up, didn't you?
Yeah,
I think Dallas has a shot to beat San Fran. We talked about a pre-show that San Fran's defense been kind of fraudulent over the last month and a half, and. It's really going to come down to how the Cowboys can play on offense, because I think both teams will put up points, but it's just going to be a matter of which team scores more, I think. So that game should be fun, and hopefully Dallas can sneak out a win.
We'll see. All right, let's just get into it. So position by position, like we do every single week, like we have all year. Let's start at the top with the quarterbacks, with Patrick Mahomes at 8K. Then you have Josh Allen at 7,800, Jalen Hurts at 76. Joey Burrow at 65, Dak Prescott at 61, and then you have Trevor Lawrence at 6K, Daniel Jones at 58, and Brock Purdy at 5,400. I think conventional wisdom this week is going to be paying up at quarterback, paying for Patrick Mahomes or Jalen Hurts or maybe even Josh Allen, or possibly paying down. Now, paying down this week, I'm going to be honest, I love Daniel Jones last week. I was all about Daniel Jones. The first thing I talked about was that I think he's the best quarterback on the slate. And he came through. He smashed last week. This isn't the spot that I want to go back Daniel Jones against a team that like the Eagles. If I'm going to be paying up a quarter or paying down a quarterback on this slate, it's going to go to Trevor Lawrence, who's 6K. I just can't go to Daniel Jones. Yes, Daniel Jones makes a lot of sense because of what he has done on the ground. They've basically gotten to the point with him where that he runs the ball, as much as guys like Jalen Hurts does at this point. And he's able to do that, but I just don't know if the passing game is going to be able to be there like we saw last week, throwing for over 300 yards against the Vikings. So I just can't pay down for Daniel Jones. But what are you guys looking at this week?
Matt, do you want to take this and I'll chime in?
Yeah. I think if you're paying up, for me, it's Hurts or Mahomes. I think we get a vintage Mahomes performance here at home, and we know the whole Andy Reid coming off a bye thing. The Chiefs already played Jacksonville once this year, and Mahomes went absolutely nuclear, scored 35 DK points in that game. And Mahomes, you don't really think about it, but he actually, for as much as we talk about playing Jalen Hurts for his rushing upside, Mahomes has pretty much half the rushing production that Hurts has this year. So you can't really discredit Mahomes with his legs. I mean, he's got about half the yardage and a little less than half the rushing touchdowns, but he's definitely still a threat to you know, have rushing production. So, you know, it isn't all just on the arm of Patrick Mahomes. So I think that, you know, paying all the way up to 8K is very interesting, especially considering I really love Travis Kelce this week. And teams have been attacking Jacksonville through the pass over the last few weeks as well. You can't, you know, they've been a solid run defense, and Kansas City, you know, it was one of the first couple games that when they played Jacksonville that Mecole Hardman had been out, and McKinnon only had one carry, but he had eight targets. So, you know, it's just such a good spot for the two main guys that we want to play from Kansas City. And that's McKinnon and that's Travis Kelce. Tight ends and running backs have had a lot of success in the past game against Jacksonville. So it's a very easy stack to just play Mahomes, Kelce, and McKinnon. The trick is just making sure you run pure with the touchdown variance, because the Chiefs are just like the Bills and 49ers, where touchdowns can go to anybody. Like, you know, a backup offensive lineman can catch a 1 yard touchdown. So things can get weird. But it has been, you know, the majority of the time it's been McKinnon and Kelce that are heavily involved in the red zone with some Kadarius Toney rushing attempts as well. So, I think it's an easy stack, for me this week, if you're playing Mahomes. And then if you're playing Jalen Hurts, a reason to like him is because his pass catchers are going to be unowned, this week. Nobody wants to play AJ Brown. Nobody wants to play Devontae Smith. Dallas Goedert's probably gonna be the fourth highest owned tight end, behind Schultz, Ingram, and Kelce. So it's, if you're playing Hurts, you're playing him for his ceiling based on his legs, but his pass catchers have showed they have ceilings this year too. So I really like, you know, the Giants. I mean, they just got smoked by TJ Hockenson twice in the last 4 weeks. So tight ends against the Giants are definitely a thing. I mean, even receivers against them, and yes, they did get Adoree Jackson back. The Giants did. And he's their top corner, and you know, he did respectable covering Justin Jefferson last week. But I mean, when you have both AJ Brown and Devontae Smith out there, it's a little hard to, you know, you have to pick and choose your battles, right, of which guy you want to cover. It's not like Minnesota where it's, you know, the next best guy is KJ Osborne and Adam Thielen. So it's, you know, Devontae Smith is a legit, he'd be a wide receiver one if AJ Brown was not opposite him there in Philly. So I have heavy interest in playing Hurts stacked up with, you know, one or two of Goddard, Smith, and AJ Brown, just because it's going to be, you know, lower owned, and that's such a high ceiling spot at home against the Giants. And then if paying down, I have a lot of interest in Dak Prescott, and you know, it's such a tournament play because, you know, the Dallas offense could no show like they did 2 weeks ago against Washington. But then again, you cannot run on San Francisco at all. You have to throw to have success against them. And we've seen the San Francisco defense has been, like I said, a little fraudulent over the last couple of weeks, especially against the pass. They gave up a ton of production to Jarrett Stidham, over 300 yards. And Devontae Adams crushed that game as well. So I think it's a really good spot for Dak and CeeDee Lamb. This is such a good CeeDee Lamb spot after last week where Tampa Bay made it a point to double cover him, and they let Dallas, you know, beat them through Gallup and Schultz. I don't think that's going to be the case this week. I think Lamb can have a big game. We've seen wide receiver ones have a big game against San Fran, and such a good spot for a tight end as well. So all the same thing with the Chiefs. It's so easy to just stack up Dallas with Dak, Lamb, and Schultz, and that one's actually more affordable. So I think it's going to be lower owned too. But that game, I think that game could end up as the biggest shootout of the weekend, personally. I'm not sure I'm going to get to Purdy. I know he nuked the slate last week with 37 DK points, but I mean, out of seven or eight starts, I mean, that's only his second one above 20. And then his other one was only 21 points. So I don't know. I don't think I'm going to get there. I think I'd rather just play Dak or Trevor Lawrence for a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many different ways to go at quarterback on the slate because, like, legit, how many different guys, like every one of these starting quarterbacks pretty much has 30-point upside. Like Purdy showed us that. Daniel Jones showed us that. Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, like all Dak. Like all of these guys have 30-point upside. So it's like you could talk yourself into a lot of different ways to go at quarterback. I think that the popular constructions are going to be either pay up for one of Josh Allen, Hurts, or Mahomes, or go down to Daniel Jones or Purdy. I think the middle guys are really, really interesting as far as, like, I think they're going to get squeezed. And, like, I say squeezed, I know, like, we're never worried about chalk with quarterbacks and stuff like that. Like, they're all spread out and stuff. But, like, I think if one or two of those guys disappoint, one of these middle guys like Lawrence or Burrow or Dak pops up with a big game, that could be another leverage point on this slate and getting different. And, the other thing about this slate, guys, is I'm like, every one of these freaking games, like, has a high total. So it's like, you can't really just X out any of these games and say, okay, well, like last week with Cincinnati and Baltimore, okay, the total is garbage. Like, nobody wants to play that. So I think part of it is if you're going to play a lot, one of these quarterbacks that is going to be more popular, it's like, how are you getting different with your stack? Are you game stacking? Are you just going to go, like, instead of double stacking, are you triple stacking and saying, okay, like, the quarterback goes for 350 and four, which I think is viable with a lot of these different guys. This is all to say that, like, you can talk yourself into a lot of different ways to go with quarterback. I think my favorites for this slate are going to be Mahomes. It's going to be Hurts. Allen's always in play, but if I'm going up, I'd much rather play Mahomes. I'd much rather play Hurts. I think that both of them, and I love the fact that you brought up Mahomes' rushing equity, Maddie, because we've seen this time and time again. Like, the playoffs come and Patrick Mahomes runs. The splits every single year, regular season versus postseason, are big as far as him running versus him not running. And if you look at also, like, the Jacksonville Jaguars are not blitzing a ton, but they're top five in pressure. So if they're going to pressure and get at Mahomes, screw it. He might run for like 50 or 60 yards. And the leverage point on Mahomes and getting different with that stack is don't play Jarrett McKinnon. Jarrett McKinnon's going to play 30 or 40% of the snaps. He's going to be one of the highest owned players of the slate, and play Kelce and play Juju, because Trey Herndon last week for Jacksonville was the one covering the slot. He is absolute booty. Like, so with him going against Juju, this could be, like, Juju's been all over the map all year. Like, this could be one of those Juju games where he goes for, like, 12 targets and he scores once or twice. So I think it's ways like that. Like, how are you going to get different with your stacks and looking for some of the lower-owned quarterback plays? Because Dimes and Purdy coming off of really high-ceiling games, I think are going to be extremely, like, they could be the more popular quarterbacks this week and surprise people when we turn over the cards. So I really like the Dak call because Dallas is not going to be able to run on San Francisco. So how are they going to move the ball? They're going to have to freaking throw. I really like Dak and Joe Burrow if you're trying to be different, because Buffalo last week, like, you can throw on Buffalo. As long as you're not throwing at Tre'Davious White, you can throw on Buffalo. Like, Teron Johnson in the slot has been terrible. T. Higgins, we've seen him pop off for big games. He is going to go overlooked because everybody's going to say, okay, well, we all know that Joe Burrow's ceiling in most different cases is correlated highly to Ja'Marr Chase, but it's a freaking four-game slate, guys. So, like, what if it – like, we saw it last week. It's like everybody wants to play these high-priced wide receivers. It's like, well, if the chalk busts, then the way you get leverage is getting different with your stacks. So if you're playing Burrow, don't play Chase. Play T and play Tyler Boyd. So that's really, like, how I'm going to approach this slate. It's getting different with stacks. I'm going to get exposure to a lot of these different quarterbacks, but if I'm going to, like, the short list of guys that I love on this slate, it's Mahomes, it's Jalen Hurts, Dak, and Burrow, honestly.
So, you know, you neither one of you really talked much about Trevor Lawrence. Like, the reason I like Trevor Lawrence is because, one, this is a team that throws the ball at a very high rate. It doesn't really matter where it is. They're also eighth in red zone attempts on the year. And the Chiefs are a team that forces you to throw the ball, right? And they're going to have to throw the ball to keep up with the Chiefs. And so you're not really worried about whether they get ahead or whether they fall behind. They're going to have to keep their foot on the pedal this entire time. It's the highest total game on the slate. And I think Trevor Lawrence is somebody that's going to get overlooked here. The pass catchers here are very viable, I think, in this game. And something that you guys mentioned is that, you know, the touchdowns go all over the place. Like, would it surprise you if Isaiah Pacheco, you know, runs in two touchdowns in that game and takes a couple touchdowns away. Like, it's all possible because of the way this team functions. And so, like, I think Trevor Lawrence makes a ton of sense. A team that throws the ball at a very high rate, like I said. And, you know, we've seen in the second half of the season, Trevor Lawrence really kind of come to life here and really look like the guy he was and the guy we thought he was going to be. And he's starting to run the ball a little bit more as well. So he has that in his bag of tricks as well here. And, you know, and I, so the way I look at this, and I think you can stack this up pretty well. And it's really not an expensive stack compared to, you know, all the other stacks. Like this is a team that doesn't have a stud here to stack with, right? Like you have Christian Kirk, who is what, 6K. And then you have Zay Jones. Both of those guys are pretty much interchangeable in how they're utilized. Both have around a 23% target share in their offense. Evan Ingram is very boom or bust, but you know, we'll talk about him later. But you know, he's a viable option. Even Marvin Jones, somebody that has seen six or more targets in five of his last games. But for the most part, I think you can look stack, you know, somebody like Trevor Lawrence, and then you could run it back with a Travis Kelce. And you can still get access to Travis Kelce here because you're right. Travis Kelce in the playoffs is a completely different beast. I think he scored like 11 touchdowns with Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. And so, like, I do think Travis Kelce is 100% viable. And I could see him not carrying the ownership he should because of how expensive he is. And so when I look at some of at this slate and the options here, you know, Kansas City does struggle against tight ends. They allow the sixth most tight ends to tight ends, but they also struggle heavily against wide receivers. They allow the seventh most DK points to wide receivers. They allow the third most third most receiving touchdowns as well. So this is a very good slate for Jacksonville to be able to throw all over this to be able to throw the ball here. You know, they have seen him once before, and so. You know, and Doug Peterson is somebody that we know is going to be a guy who's going to go for it on fourth down, so extend drives, so to give them more opportunities as well. And so I just think here, Trevor Lawrence, I think, is somebody that's going to go overlooked, and I think he shouldn't. And I think he's easy access to get, you know, make a cheap stack here and then be able to pay up at some of the other options. And so I think there are going to be a lot of people that do travel to Christian Kirk because of the big game he's coming off of and looking at the box score the first time they played. And in that game where Christian Kirk saw, 12 targets, 9 catches, 105 yards, and 2 scores. But Zay Jones also saw 10 targets in that game, 8 catches, 68 yards. And so, you know, with Zay, I think he is 100% playing well, and he's probably not going to carry the same ownership. So I think this is a very good stack to get to in that game that we want to play. You can still play some of the, you know, the KC side. And maybe you just don't play Mahomes. But I think it also allows you to get a little bit different. It also allows you to get access to some of the other higher-priced guys. Maybe if you want to get Christian McCaffrey or somebody like that in there, I think it makes it a little bit easier to play somebody like Trevor Lawrence. Because if I'm paying down a quarterback, I am not playing Daniel Jones, and I'm not playing Brock Purdy. No, give me Trevor Lawrence, who's what, a couple hundred dollars less or more expensive, and – who is you know, we're guaranteed he's gonna throw the ball a ton. He has rushing upside in him as well. A good matchup against Kansas City, who struggles against against quarterbacks. Have the fourth most DK points to quarterbacks, the most passing touchdowns to quarterbacks, top 8 in passing yards allowed. So like, there's a lot to like here with Trevor Lawrence this week. And so if I'm gonna be paying down at quarterback, it's going to be Trevor Lawrence.
I love that call, Kev. And yeah, I shouldn't have glossed over T-Law, but the biggest thing that I want to take away from everything you just said about Trevor Lawrence and what we talked about previously was knowing where the damn ball goes and knowing where touchdowns go.
It's an easy stack.
You can make a great case that the easiest way or the easiest team to know where the touchdowns go is the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, legit, in their passing game, it's going to be Kirk. It's going to be Ingram or it's going to be Zay. And that's all their passing touchdowns. Outside of like some like 20 yards and a touchdown out of Marv, which fine, you get the exposure by playing T-Law. And they're not using ETN in the passing game. So like, the more you talked about it, the more I'm like, damn it, Trevor Lawrence is probably one of the better plays, if not the best play on the slate, because his pass catchers are cheap. All of them have shown us 30-point ceilings. Like, Kirk has a 30-point ceiling. Zay has a 30-point ceiling. Kansas Evan Ingram has a 30-point ceiling. The pass. Like, and Trevor Lawrence has showed a 30-point ceiling. So, like, we know where the ball goes. Cheap pass catchers. And all of them have 30-point ceilings. Yeah, I mean, the more Kev talks about it, I'm like, shit, I'm going to play a crap ton of T-Law now.
Well, I mean, and I think a lot of it, too, is just because of the team you're playing, right? Every time you play the Chiefs, teams just throw over them. They've had the – third most pass attempts against them on the season. Like, everybody knows you just throw against them. That's why it's the complete opposite against the run. Like, teams just aren't running the ball against them. I think they've had, like, the third or fourth fewest rush attempts against them on the year because they force you to throw the ball. And teams just go in with that mindset of, we're going to have to throw the ball in this game, and they almost abandon the run. Well, and you hear it all the time, and it drives me crazy because you listen to a lot of, like, pre-games and all the stuff, and everybody always talks about, oh, this team needs to establish the run and all this stuff. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, that's never going to happen. You do not try to run the ball against the Chiefs and try to take the ball out of Mahomes' hands. Like, that doesn't happen. Like,
you got to freaking score points.
Yeah, you got to go ahead. You got to throw the ball. You got to get explosive chunk plays, and you got to score. You know, and so this whole mindset of, oh well, you know, they're going to go in and, you know, Travis Etienne is going to get the ball 25 times because they're going to try to, you know, take the ball out of Mahomes' hands is so stupid. It doesn't happen.
It's funny because when you try to run the ball that much and then you pick up two first downs and then you punt and then the Chiefs, you know, score on the first play of the next drive. It's like the Chiefs only need 30 seconds to score. So, like, quote unquote,
13.
Yeah, 13. So, quote unquote, taking the ball out of his hands, you know, is the most
egregious thing I've ever heard in my life.
They can do it so fast. Like, there is no such thing as taking the ball out of their hands.
The other part about this game is that both of these run defenses are really good. So yeah, both of these teams are going to have to throw, yep, like, to move the ball. So, like, we might just see a game where and honestly, the thing that infuriated me last week about Jacksonville was, like, they didn't use Etienne enough early in the game. Like, Law was throwing all these picks, but Peterson kept throwing the freaking ball. Like, Etienne did not have much usage in the first half. So, like, now if we're talking about another matchup where Kansas City has been really good versus rushing attacks, yes, they give up a lot of production, but Etienne doesn't get used in the passing game to running backs. So it's like, okay, well, Jacksonville's just going to chuck the damn ball. They're going to go like Buffalo and chuck the ball like 45, 50 times, and Etienne's going to get like 14 carries.
Well, and also, too, it's not, I mean, we're not talking about a, you know, a average quarterback here. Like, Trevor Lawrence has been arguably, you know, a top five quarterback down the stretch of the season. I know he's ranked, you know, at the top of every single quarterback metric there is on the board. You know, of course, not the week in Detroit when I played him at the King of the Beach. Of course, you know, that's the week that, you know, he didn't do anything. but besides that, I'm not salty about that or anything. Maybe I just have a blind spot for Trevor Lawrence because of what he did to me that week. But no, I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense. And the more we talk about it, the more I like him. So
all right. So, I mean, we pretty much hit through all the quarterbacks, and we're going to talk about their pass catchers anyway. So, I think we could probably move on to running backs. I mean, I don't think there's anything else to say about the quarterbacks, or is there anything else you guys want
great
to
talk about?
I'm good.
No, let's move.
All right. So, we got running back. We have Christian McCaffrey, who's 8K. Saquon is at 7,900. And then you have Joe Mixon, who's 6,500. Travis Etienne is 6,400. Tony Pollard is 6,100. Jerick McKinnon is 6K. Miles Sanders, Isaiah Pacheco, Ezekiel Elliott's dusty ass, Devin Singletary make up all the running backs that are above 5K. And I guess if you want to throw in, you got James Cook and Eli Mitchell, who are probably maybe somewhat in play, depending on how you want to look at it here. But for the most part here at running back this week, I think it's kind of straightforward. I do think Jerick McKinnon offers a lot of boom or bust potential here because he is not somebody who sees a ton of usage. He's basically been a wide receiver is basically what they made him into. Because he's only seen 8 carries twice since week 9. So he's averaging 5.4 targets per game over that span. But the thing is, he's scored 9 touchdowns over his last 6 weeks. And that's where the bulk of all of his production is coming from. Now, he's been really good as a pass catcher. He's 8th in yards per route run among all running backs, 4th in receiving yards, and 9th in reception. So, like, he's definitely been utilized heavily in that way. But he's very touchdown dependent, right? And if he's going to carry a ton of ownership, like, yes, he could burn you. He can get 30. He can get 30 DK points for sure. But he's also, you know, he could also get you 8. And at 6K, is he really worth it? Or even 10 or 12? And he maybe finds the end zone, you know, whatever. I think we could see a little bit some things that are different. We'll talk about it at wide receiver. But because I do think right now we thought Mecole Hardman was going to be back. He's not. And so if there is a chance, I guess Clyde Edwards-Helaire could be back. I don't give a fuck about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He was kind of getting phased out before he got hurt, so that doesn't really matter to me. I still think it's between him and Pacheco in this offense. But I do think Jerick McKinnon is one of the more volatile options. here on this slate as well. And so he does worry me. But I also think Miles Sanders is going to carry more ownership because this is a matchup. The Giants struggle against the run. They are not very good against opposing running backs. We've seen Miles Sanders already once this year go off for 17 carries, 144 yards, and two scores in a game against this team. You know, week 14. But I also think I'm not playing Miles Sanders and Jalen Hurts together. I think it is negatively correlates together. So I think you have to make a decision there on if you're going to play him. I don't think you have to play Miles Sanders, but he's intriguing at $5,700. But he's also, again, very boom or bust because it's definitely possible that, you know, again, we saw him, you know, in a game that they played, you know, week 18. Now, again, you know, that was a game I don't think they were really trying their hardest, but 11 carries, 33 yards. So he can definitely burn you because he's not utilizing the passing game at all. So if he doesn't score a touchdown, he is very, very touchdown dependent in that way. So if he's going to be really high owned, I think there's better options that I think carry a little bit better leverage off of Miles Sanders because if he does not score, he is not going to be in the op.
Yeah, I guess my only counter argument to, you know, needing to rely on McKinnon and Sanders for touchdowns because of the lack of pass game usage is we don't really have any pass catching running backs on this slate that are, you know, in a great spot. Like, I mean, Pollard, yes, but he's not, you know, not a good spot against San Francisco. Obviously McCaffrey and Saquon's not in a good matchup and had, I think his lowest DK output of the year was like 6 points against Philly when they played back in, what was it, week 14 or 16 or whatever it was.
So yeah, but I mean, I think they also got the doors blown off him too. So,
which is, I mean, concerning.
Well, yeah, I mean, sure, it's possible. But the thing that about this game, though, that does concern me a little bit is the fact that this is the third time that these teams have faced each other. And just weird things tend to happen, right? Like, and so, like, honestly, I would not be shocked if the Giants beat the Eagles. That may be a hot take. I don't know.
Oh, no, I totally agree.
I don't think it's totally that agree. Hot to think the Giants could beat the Eagles. But I do think Saquon Barkley is the guy that we would probably say, I think, at least – overall, the Eagles have struggled at times this year against the run. They have gotten better against that, you know, especially some of the signings they've made and stuff like that. But Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey both could get 10 targets in this game, you know, either one of their games. Like that's not really all that surprising considering, you know, they're kind of the cog to make their offenses really run. I know the Giants last week had Isaiah Hodgins really pop off, but Saquon Barkley certainly could get 10 targets, but he's also $7,900. So there's a big price difference in those guys. Right. I get that. I'm not saying to avoid Jerick McKinnon or don't play Jerick McKinnon. My only point to this is he is very touchdown dependent because he's not going to see 20 touches in this game.
No,
it's not going to happen.
I totally agree. And on a, you know, on a full slate, I would be totally on board with just, you know, full fading a chalky Jerick McKinnon for those reasons. It's just when you have to pick somebody else to play, like I'm playing Christian McCaffrey 100% because he's been heavily involved in the pass game.
Same.
when their games have stayed close. And while, you know, Dallas has actually been torched on the ground, you know, not last week, but a couple weeks prior.
Hey, Rashad White had a decent game last week.
He did have a decent game. So it's like, I just think,
you know, and just to throw this out there, Rashad White has been terrible this year.
Yeah,
I know nobody wants to hear that shit, but he cannot break a tackle to save his life. Just to throw that in there.
Yeah, no, I mean he looked solid on the ground, and you know he was the running back that was heavily involved in the pass game there. So I think McCaffrey smashes this week because I think it's going to be a close shootout. So I am jamming him in at 8K, and I think You know, the more we talk about it, you know, McCaffrey may end up a little lower owned because, you know, everybody's worried about Elijah Mitchell and Mitchell. While, yes, Mitchell has definitely taken away some opportunities from McCaffrey, especially at the goal line. You know, a lot of Mitchell's opportunities come in these blowouts where San Francisco's up by, you know, two or three touchdowns. But you go back and look through McCaffrey's game log. So when they played the 37-34 shootout with Vegas, McCaffrey had 9 targets. The Seattle game in week 15, where they only won by one possession, McCaffrey had 8 targets. The Miami game where Purdy, that was the first week that Purdy came in because of Jimmy G getting hurt. McCaffrey had 10 targets in that game. They did win by 2 possessions, but I think that was like a late score that they had there. So that game was close throughout too. So 8, 9, and 10 targets in the 3 games that, you know, San Francisco has played rather close. All the others have been blowouts. So I'm all on McCaffrey here, and I think he's the only legit pass catching running back that we have. Like I said, Pollard, yes, but it's such a terrible matchup that I'm not really interested in playing him. So you have to have interest in McKinnon. He has taken on the red zone pass catching role ever since Mecole Hardman got hurt. He's you know, Hardman was scoring a ton of touchdowns, especially in the red zone, before he got injured, and it's, they've all gone to McKinnon since. And couple that with the fact that CEH got hurt as well, and Pacheco's not really used in the pass game. So it just, you know, he's one of their main guys. It's been working for him. I'm not sure that there's enough resistance from the Jags to be something that Kansas City wants to get away from. Just, I mean, the Jags give up a ton of receptions to running backs. So I'm not, you know, concerned with matchup there. And then Miles, the argument for Miles Sanders, outside of the matchup being really good, is he actually was playing through a knee injury the last couple weeks of the season. And I think he played the last two games with a knee brace on, and he is fully off the injury report this week and is practicing in full. So that is the one, you know, we talked about DeAndre Swift in the same way, you know, down the stretch when Swift came off the injury report completely, he ended up nuking that slate. I think that was his, you know, first or second 20 plus DK point game of the year. I think same thing for Miles Sanders. Like, they got away from using him, and I think it's because he was hurt. But now he seems to be fully healthy. He's not wearing a brace anymore, and he is completely off the injury report. So I think we could see 100 plus yards and a score out of Miles Sanders. And I completely agree with Kev that I don't know that I would play Sanders and Hurts together. And it feels like such a good spot. Like, if you're not playing Hurts, I just don't see the Eagles getting shut down. So if you're not playing Hurts, the production's got to come from somewhere. And I would bet on a $5,700 Miles Sanders is definitely a good place to place a bet. So that's pretty much where I'm going to live at running back, is those three guys, Sanders, McKinnon, and CMC. I played James Cook last week, but I just don't think I'm going to get there this week against Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, I'll throw this out here right now. I'm locking CMC. I'm playing 100% CMC, like, straight up. Like, that game, for all the reasons Maddie said, you play CMC. He's the best play running back on the slate. You just lock him and you move on. It does not matter. He is the one running back that, like, legit can break the slate. I don't see Bark. So the way that I think the popular builds are going to go this week, everybody's, I think, CMC and or Barkley, and then they're going to pay down for either Sanders or McKinnon. Or people are going to say, I'm going to play McKinnon and Sanders.
I think the McKinnon-Sanders combo is going to be pretty popular.
Agreed. I think that another way that you – and this is, again, we're talking about Trevor Lawrence having a cheap stack. Like, it is possible to play CMC and JMN Barkley, and I don't think you're going to see a lot of teams that do that. I think that is going to auto make your team different. I think that it's possible. I think that there is enough value on this slate and ways to get different that you can do that. And they're the two best. I mean, legit, like, they're the only two running backs in this whole freaking slate that you could say are going to play 70% of the snaps. And Jarrett McKinnon being so damn chalky, like, he's at 6K. I like him as a play, but if he's going to be one of the most highest owned running backs on this slate, give me the leverage, dude. Like, he's going to play 30 to 40% of the snaps. He's only running routes on 40 to 48% of the dropbacks. So, like, you're really asking, like, he has to run hot and continue to run hot on touchdowns. Now, that can absolutely happen. The other thing that can absolutely happen, and we saw it previously, like, Kadarius Toney could get gadget plays and could get the red zone work. Like, you play Kadarius Toney for the leverage off of a chalky as hell. Like, to me,
well, also McKinnon Travis feels, Kelce can catch four touchdowns in one game too.
McKinnon feels like the most fragile chalk on this whole slate, and everybody is so damn sure of it that, like, I honestly just want to full fade McKinnon. I want to lock CMC, and I want to play either Miles Sanders or I'm going to jam in Saquon Barkley and just move the hell on to other positions.
is there certain things we have to remember too, because like if you go back and look when Jerick McKinnon played the Jaguars, when they played the Jaguars, McKinnon saw 8 targets in that game, which was like the second most targets he's seen since he's really kind of jumped on the scene. But also have to remember Juju Smith-Schuster in that game got knocked out in the first half. Knocked the fuck out, you know, whenever Cisco laid him out and he went to a concussion. Yep. MVS is garbage. And then that was Kadarius Toney's first game. But you have to remember, too, with Kadarius Toney, he got injured in that game. And I think he only played in the first half. And so Kadarius Toney was actually having a big game in that game before he left with injury. So they didn't have anybody else to throw the ball to because everybody got hurt. Mecole Hardman was out. And so with this, like, I do 100% agree that Kadarius Toney could be him, could be that guy, like the guy they've been holding back, they've utilized in certain different ways, got him in some different packages. He's only averaging 8.3 routes per game, and so people are going to stay away from Kadarius Toney, and I think Kadarius Toney could be the guy that they look to utilize. That. That's a lot of stuff they did with Mecole Hardman earlier in the year. They love to get him on jet sweeps, they love to get him on screens, and I think this is exactly what they want to do with Kadarius Toney, and they've just kind of been nursing him along, getting him through, now we're into the playoffs. Okay, now everything's off, the baby gloves are off, and it's time to go. And that's what worries me about Jerick McKinnon. I'm not saying Jerick McKinnon is a bad play, but just like you said, D-Bro, he is 100% super fragile. If you look at even over the last few weeks, he hasn't been seeing crazy targets. He saw 3 week 16 against Seattle, 6 against Denver, and 3 against the Raiders. And he played all those snaps. He played normal usage. What got him over the hump was touchdowns. And if he doesn't score a touchdown, you are going to be really upset that you played Jerick McKinnon. And it worries me for a player that you're paying that might see the ball 8 to 10 times in the game, and that he's going to have to score a touchdown for him to come through. I'm not saying you can't play him. If you're playing in a stack and you want to put him in there, fine.
And Kev,
he's not somebody I'm jamming in.
Yeah, we've talked about this too earlier this year when, you know, just from like a building roster standpoint, is like you want to think about pre-touchdown performance and then tack on 2 touchdowns to what you're expecting. And if you tack on those 2 touchdowns, is it, you know, is the guy just barely hitting value for what you're looking for, or is he breaking the slate? Because, you know, we talked about Austin Eckler before he was 3 weeks before he scored a touchdown. And we were like, you know, Eckler's still getting, you know, 17, 18, 19, 20 DK points, and he scored 0 touchdowns. If you all of a sudden give Eckler 3 touchdowns in a game, which is possible, you know, he's breaking the slate with, you know, 35 to 40 DK points. And sure enough, what did he do? He scored 3 touchdowns that week we talked about it. And so it's like, okay, if I play Jerick McKinnon and he gets me 2 touchdowns, like, he's hitting value, but he's not necessarily breaking the slate too.
But you're also like, handholding. You're going to be handholding with everybody on the freaking four-game slate.
You're going to be building a team that's very similar to what everybody else has. And so, yes, I good play, but it's like you need those 2 touchdowns just for him to be a good play and not even a slate breaking play. You know?
I'm going to throw this out here. I think Kadarius Toney and Juju Smith-Schuster are the 2 best leverage plays on this whole damn slate. Straight up.
Honestly, I think you just play Travis Kelce and move the hell on. I 100% could see Kelce catching 3 touchdowns here, and like, or like a Noah Gray TD or something weird like that.
Patty Mahomes goes nuclear. He throws for 350 and 4. 2 go to Toney, 1 goes to Juju, 1 goes to Kelce. Like, this writes itself, and McKinnon flops. Like, I'm going to play a lot, if you're talking about being different and getting value with your stacks, what's Juju at, guys? What, 5,100, right?
Yeah.
And what's Toney at? I don't remember his price off the top of my head.
He is 4,100. He's projecting at 3% ownership.
So 4,100, 5,100, and you play Kelce, you triple stack Mahomes, and you game stack around Jacksonville, or you just play the Kansas City, just smushes them, and you play the Kansas City defense too. Like, this is not hard to me, and it's the best leverage off of a chalky, fragile as hell Jerick McKinnon.
What are your guys' thoughts on Tony Pollard?
It had to be large field for me. Like, I could see, I can make the case for him. Like,
The only thing that I see for him, though, is how efficient he is as a runner, right? Like, how explosive he is.
Yep.
I mean, he's definitely a guy you can see break off a 60-yard touchdown run or through the air. It's he's the guy that I feel like is going to be completely squeezed out. Everybody's going to completely look over. No way. I'm not playing. And I get it. It's not a great matchup. San Francisco's been great against.
And he's pricey, too. He's pricey for splitting.
He's 6,100. Yeah. I mean, but I think that's a little bit cheaper than what we typically would pay for him. But yeah, I mean, he's earlier in the year, he was up in the 7K range. But for the most part, I guess that's right around where he was for a lot of the season. But still, like, he's the guy that I could see that we look back on, like, oh, shit. Like, had to have Tony Pollard to go off. Because, like, I mean, he is so damn efficient, the things that he does. And so
he's got 30 and 44 outside as well. Like, and he's,
so I don't mind getting some access to him at $6,100, maybe a little bit of leverage. But, you know, again, and I think I just want to say this. Like, I don't think anybody like, or at least I'm not saying that necessarily you like, to completely, I'm not saying 100% full fade Jerick McKinnon, but it's just understand a lot of different ways that it can go wrong and not just jam him in just because you think he's just an elite play. Because I don't think he's an elite play.
No, but I'm going to straight up say it. Like, I'm going to lock CMC and I'm going to be vastly underweight on the field versus Jerick McKinnon. Like, to me, if I'm going to eat chalk, give me the non-fragile chalk. Like, all of these other guys are playing full-time snaps. Or if they're playing part-time snaps, like Maddie talked about, touchdown variants and things like that. Like, for me, it's really hard because I think, like, a lot of people, when they open up the slate, they're going to look at the running back plays and they're going to say, okay, who am I pairing with Jerick? I think Jerick McKinnon is going to be one of the first names that they click straight up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at McKinnon's game log. He scored one touchdown, scored 9 points, scored two touchdowns. He scored 22 points. That 22 wouldn't kill you. I mean, sure. Yeah. It'd be nice to have, but if you don't play him, like, that doesn't bury you.
What if Pollard goes for 30 and McKinnon only gets you like 18 to 20? Like, you're not dead, but if you play by playing Pollard or you play,
If you play Pollard or Sanders, you just need them to beat McKinnon straight up because they're the same price.
Both of them can do.
Oh, absolutely.
And their volume, the volume expectation for both Miles Sanders and Tony Pollard, I think vastly exceeds. Like, their volume floors are 15 to 20 touches. McKinnon's volume floor is like 7.
Right. I mean, I haven't like done the math, but like over this ban for Jerick McKinnon. I mean, his touchdown rate has to be fucking through the fucking roof with the little amount of touchdowns.
Oh, it's insane.
Because
if he doesn't score
a touchdown, let's say he has 5 catches for 60 yards. Like, it's not worth it. Like, he's not worth it if he doesn't score a touchdown.
Nope.
He has to score a touchdown. And the problem is, like, he doesn't get a ton of touches. Now, I get it. He's done it. He scored 9 touchdowns in, what, the last 6 games or whatever it is. And so, like, it's certainly the range possibility is certainly there. It's just, for me, on a slate like this, where it's a 4-game slate, and you're going to have to try to get a little bit different because we're trying to win the thing. I'm not trying to min cash. You know, I'm trying to take down a tournament here because you shouldn't be playing cash on a 4-game slate at all. I don't play cash anyway, and I don't think any of us do. But regardless,
no,
like there's no reason to play cash on a 4-game slate. And so, like, if he goes off and I guess if he gets that 30-point upside that he's had in a couple of games this year, it's in the range of possibilities that could happen. But I feel like it's also more likely that he could get 6, and then 60% of the field has him. And or
he would have scored. He would have scored 2 without that touchdown in the last game.
Let me phrase it this way: if I'm going to play an 8 to 10 touch type of player that has 2 touchdown upside, tell me why I'm going to play pay $6,000 for that player when I can just pay $4,100 and play freaking Kadarius Toney, who has the same type of volume expectations possibly and the same type of touchdown equity, except that he's going to be unowned and his price reflects his possible volume.
I don't disagree.
All right, and we're not playing Joe Mixon, right? We're not.
Hell no.
We haven't talked.
I'd rather.
Somebody would have to pay me to play Joe Mixon. Hell no.
Yeah. Other than that, like, you know, if you want to play Travis Etienne, you can do it. I don't think you have to, but it's not like we've already talked about. It's not really the way I want to go. But
no, his pass game usage is non-existent.
Yeah, for me, it's really I want to play Christian McCaffrey. 100% agree. Like, lock him in, and then, you know, find one of these other running backs. But
I
do agree.
I think too, a key with playing McCaffrey is making sure you have a Dallas guy on the McCaffrey team, because, like I said, if you know, in these games that San Francisco has kind of gone back and forth or have stayed close, are the games that McCaffrey's really had heavy, heavy pass game usage. So, you know, I'm expecting San Francisco to score, especially if I'm playing 8K CMC. And, you know, if Dallas is pushing them, then that's CMC will be on the field more and Elijah Mitchell will not be. So,
yeah, you just mini him. You mini him with either.
You can play him with Schultz. You can play him with CeeDee Lamb. You can play him with Pollard. Any of those three are fine.
Well, and the other thing I want to throw out here about CMC is that, like, everybody, I think, dude, all the Elijah Mitchell stuff is so overblown as far as the worries. Like, yes, like, over the last two games, he has split red zone work with CMC, but a lot of that we talked about is just absolute noise because they've blown people out. Like, Elijah Mitchell, it's like, okay, so here's the thing. Elijah Mitchell, what's the difference in playing Elijah Mitchell and playing Jarrett McKinnon? We're basically talking about what the same type of player, 5 to 10 touch upside. Like playing
just Mitchell's red zone and touchdown. Mitchell's is on the ground and McKinnon's is through the air.
Well, exactly. So like if I'm gonna play a player like that, then let me just get Elijah Mitchell. Like it's the same type of play you're talking yourself into with Jarrett McKinnon. You're just chasing touchdowns.
Yeah, you're chasing two touchdowns.
Game is in play and that game is close, like we're talking about. CMC played 74% of the snaps last week. He could play 90% of the snaps this week.
Oh, I agree. You don't have to talk me into CMC.
Yeah, but and there's only one running back on the slate anyways that you know controls the entire backfield to himself. So
agreed.
Take one.
Yeah.
And so you know, everybody else, there's somebody else there. I mean, yeah. But and then you know, even like Isaiah Pacheco. Like Isaiah Pacheco has been a guy who's getting 14 carries per game. But he's not really involved in the passing game. If he scores a touchdown, but he doesn't have a ceiling at all. Like I think his best game this year is what 16.2. I think is his best game of the year, in terms of ceiling. But he's and you watch your mouth. Don't call Isaiah Pacheco a jag. Okay, he's just an idiot and runs 1,000 miles an hour.
He runs so hard.
Like it's like, he's dude, just calm down, bro.
Kalen Ballage. Well, on the have case.
I have never seen a running back like Isaiah Pacheco. Like he is a Tasmanian devil. Like he and he's wild because like he runs.
Yeah, he bounces off his offensive lineman the whole.
And then he gets tackled and he jumps up immediately and just starts running back like 100, like dead sprint. Like, dude, the dude got taken out by some people like earlier in the year. I think, and I can't remember exactly what happened, but he got taken the fuck out on the sidelines. He jumps up and runs back to Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes had to like stop him, like, relax, dude. Like, it's like he's on like crack or something. Like, I don't know. Like, cause he is just 100% balls to the wall.
I have never seen a player like that.
And he just doesn't slow down. It's like, dude, he does not give himself any opportunity to see a hole or anything. Cause as soon as the ball is in his hands, he is 100% as fast as he possibly can.
Sometimes I think he just runs with his eyes closed and just runs in a straight line as hard as he can is what it looks like sometimes.
And it just kills it because like he has athleticism. Like sometimes yeah. Just hit a hole, bro. Like just hit a hole and be patient. Like I think he has skills to be a good these players. Like he's not a bad pass catcher. Like he could do it. But like he's just wild. Like
I'd hate to see him stand in line at the supermarket.
He gets like amped after everything. He gets a 2 yard carry. He's up. He's Maddie. Amped. Like he just had a 100 yard run. Like dude, anyways,
Isaiah Pacheco doesn't stand in lines, bro. That he's a self checkout, bro. Like he goes to the self checkout line, like so he can go as fast as he can.
But sometimes the self checkout lines are.
Have you guys ever seen the guy on TikTok that everything he does, like he's like running everywhere,
that is him.
That is him. That's what he does everywhere he goes. He is just balls to the wall, 100% running everywhere. You have to love it. I mean, but same time, it does get frustrating at times because it's like, dude, relax. Like he is the opposite of Le'Veon Bell. Like Le'Veon Bell would wait for an hour behind a line. Yep. He is just, I'm going. I don't care. See ya. So, anyways, I think we've spent enough. Do we? I don't think we need the running back. We need time. I think
we're good. Move on to wide receiver.
All right. So Ja'Marr Chase leads us off. Stephon Diggs, AJ Brown, CeeDee Lamb. Devonta Smith are the 7K and above, and then you have Christian Kirk, Deebo Samuel, T. Higgins, Juju, and Brandon Ayuk in the 5K range. And then below, we have the Lord and Savior, Isaiah Hodgins, who continues to crush, and then Gabe Davis, Zay Jones, who is too cheap, and then Darius Slayton, Kadarius Toney, and Tyler Boyd are the 4K and above wide receivers. So this week, who are the guys that you want to play just outside of a stack? Obviously, if you're stacking guys, you're stacking certain players up, you're going to play these guys. But who are the guys you just want to get in your lineups this week?
I, on the same theme as the quarterbacks, we talked about, you know, not chasing Daniel Jones and Brock Purdy from last week. I think chasing Gabe Davis. Kev, we talked about Gabe Davis being, you know, not the best player in the world last week. He did have a good game, you know, what was it, 5 or 6 catches for over 100 yards and a score. But that's, I mean, I think that's, you know, the most you can reasonably expect out of him. It just feels like a Diggs game to me, especially, you know, the Cincinnati defense has kind of been just horrible this year at, you know, allowing production to opposing passing attacks and especially the number one wide receivers. So they haven't really defended anybody. Like they've given up a lot of 300 yard games. So I like Diggs if paying all the way up. I prefer him to Chase because I think the Bengals may have issues with their offensive line. Playing on the road in Buffalo is going to be a little different for a makeshift offensive line than it is playing at home because you have to.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Operate off silent snap counts and all of that. So, you know, there's a slight advantage to the Buffalo defensive line there, being able to, you know, get good jumps on the ball because they're going to be able to time up the silent counts and all that. So I do have concerns about the Cincinnati receivers being able to hit a ceiling. Now, I will say that's, you know, T. Higgins is too cheap at 5,800. I think you have to have some interest in him. And same with Tyler Boyd at 4K, especially, you know, if Burrow's going to look to get the ball out quick and not work the ball down the field, that screams Tyler Boyd all over it. So I think Boyd at 4K is definitely in play. But I'm not personally stacking up Cincinnati, so I don't have a ton of interest in Ja'Marr Chase up top. I think the Eagles receivers, both Smith and AJ Brown, are absolutely in play considering they're going to be unowned. They're both projecting for like 13% or lower, which is hilarious. And they've been that way all year. Like nobody plays these Eagles receivers. They just play Hurts naked or play Hurts with one of the guys, and you can play Hurts with Goddard, one of these guys. So the Eagles receivers are definitely in play. Again, I like Diggs over Gabe Davis. I'm not playing Gabe Davis this week. I think last week I'm not chasing that. I know Kev, you stopped at 4K, but I like Richie James from the Giants side. He's 3,900. I played him last week. Everybody played him last week. He burned a lot of people. I'll go right back to that. Well, Vontae Maddox has already been ruled out for this week, and he is the Eagles starting slot corner. And the Eagles, when he was out, gave up a ton of slot production, and including to Richie James when they met earlier this year. He had
Maddie on top of that, because I looked at this earlier, because I thought Maddox was going to be out. I'm glad to hear that he got ruled out. Yeah, James had 61 and a tutty, and when CJ Gardner-Johnson came back in week 18, he covered the slot. It wasn't Josiah Scott. So Gardner-Johnson has been terrible versus the slot this year. He's had like a 140 passer rating. He has 17 targets, and he's allowed 16 receptions. So
isn't he an outside corner? Like, he's not a slot corner.
He's a safety.
Okay. Well, even worse.
He's a safety, but they've been pulling him in the slot whenever Avante's been out. So, dude, I love the flop lag call on Richie James. Just wanted to toss that in there. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, I think, you know, same with Isaiah Hodgins. He's priced all the way up at almost 5K now. And Debro, I feel like you and I were like some of the first people that were on him and playing him when he was 3K. Dude, it's nice to see him finally come around. But now that he's up to 4,900 and Richie James is still 3,900, I think you have to have interest in playing Richie James. The Jags guys are obvious. Both Kirk and Zay Jones are in play. Chiefs, we already talked about Kadarius Toney. I don't need to go into any more detail on him. He is absolutely in play. And then I didn't mention Dallas, but Davante Adams with Jarrett Stidham nuked the San Fran D, and San Fran D is giving up production to the number one wide receivers as it is. So, yeah, CeeDee Lamb is absolutely in play as well. So, it's pretty straightforward for me. And I do like the San Francisco guys. I do like Debo and Ayuk at 5K. I think you have to have interest in Ayuk at 5K as well. But I'm taking a stand on Jamar Chase. Probably not going to play him up top. And then I personally think, and Kev, I think you agree with this, is it's usually Juju or Kelsey that tends to go off. And if I'm going to be, you know, paying $7,700 or whatever it is for Travis Kelsey this week, then I probably won't have Juju. But if I end up on a build that, you know, doesn't have me on Kelsey, then absolutely Juju Smith-Schuster will be in play for me.
Kev, you want me to go or you want me to tie a bow on this at the end?
No, go ahead.
So, Maddie, I'm curious about that. Can you pull up Juju's big games and can we kind of cross-correlate those with Kelsey? Because I want to say there's some weeks where both of them have smashed, but, dude, I could be totally wrong with that.
So Juju had – so these are all the over 20-point games for Juju, which is what you'd be looking for. He had 22 against Denver in week 14.
And then week 14, Travis Kelce had 11.1.
Okay.
Then the next Juju game, he had 18 against Tennessee. That's not really tournament ceiling threshold, but that's close.
20.6 for Kelce.
Okay, so both mediocre there. San Francisco, 28.4.
Kelce had 15.8.
Buffalo, 25.3.
19.2.
Yeah, so Kelce was under 20 in every game that Juju exceeded 20. And then the one game Juju got 18, Kelce got 20 himself. So it's when Kelce hits his his $7,700 ceiling where he gets, you know, almost 30, Juju has been like single digits.
So all I'm hearing is if I'm stacking Mahomes, I'm either going with Kadarius Toney and Kelce, or I'm going Juju and Kadarius Toney.
Correct.
That's kind of the way I'm feeling that. So
correct. Yeah. If you're not playing McKinnon. Yep. That is 100%.
You're not playing Sky Moore?
No.
Dude, my pain level has gone so high. I can't take anymore. I want to, but I can't.
No, it's so wild with him because, like, some of the local guys they talk about it all the time, but they don't get what's going on because, like if you watch the film of Sky Moore, like, he makes a lot, like, he flashes all the time. Like, you see exactly why they drafted him.
And he draws targets when he's out there. The
catch and everything else.
I don't get it.
But they just don't, he does not get any opportunities to produce. Like, even in the game, against Jacksonville, with all those players left, he's still got no opportunities, and so I don't know. It's been a wild ride for Sky Moore this year. It
has to be something tied to like his run blocking or something like that because I
very well could be.
I don't know
because it's a big. I mean, that is a big deal for Andy Reid for all of his wide receivers to be.
Watson has been like DeMarcus Robinson. Like, he's just out there running sprints every single week and doing nothing, but he always has snaps. So like. Yeah, I mean, look, I talked about Kadarius Toney. I talked about Juju. I love both of them. I love the Tyler Boyd call because he has the best hands-down matchup, straight-up matchup against the Bills. Teron Johnson's been bad. Both the outside corners for Buffalo have been good. Tre'Davious White could shadow Chase.
And he caught a TD game. in that game that got canceled,
yep.
too. First,
he,
first
caught, he caught the first TD.
Yeah.
So I love Tyler Boyd. He is going to be basically unowned this slate. Like, he's probably going to be sitting somewhere around 10 to 12%. So I love Tyler Boyd.
Yeah, I'm seeing 8% on what I have.
Yeah, nobody's going to play Tyler Boyd.
Mm-mm.
Nobody. I like the T. Higgins call, but I think if looking at both of them straight up and on a four-gamer, I'm probably just going to lean towards Boyd. But outside of that, man, I think, like, Kev, rattle off or Maddie, whoever's got it pulled up, what are the high-priced wide receivers again? Give me the I guess, the three or four pack. There.
Chase, Diggs, A.J. Brown, CeeDee Lamb, and Devonta Smith.
Those are all $7,200 to $7,800, so they're pretty much same price.
And everybody's going to go – they're going to chase the good Chase game last week. So I'm fully fading Chase, throwing that out there. And they're going to play Diggs. So really this just comes down to, I'm going to play a massive crap ton of AJ Brown. And who's the other high price guy up there?
CeeDee Lamb and Devontae Smith.
I'm playing all the AJ Brown and CeeDee Lamb that I possibly can. Out of those four guys, like, everybody's going to click on Diggs. Everybody's going to go after Chase. Nobody's going to want to play Lamb. I'm going to play a ton of Lamb because Jimmy Ward in the slot for San Francisco has been bad. Outside of AJ Brown and Lamb, I'm going to go right back to the well on Debo. I played a crap ton of him last week for the leverage, and I'm back in, man. I don't care if he's popular. Does not matter to me. Like, he 70. So Dallas played a crap ton of zone last week. They were over 70% of their coverage snaps were in zone coverage. That is Debo Samuel's freaking wheelhouse. Brandon Ayuk has been their man coverage guy the entire year. Debo, 71% of his target volume has come against zone coverage. He's their yak guy. We even saw him get rushing attempts last week. Like, I think you could honestly play CMC and play Debo, and if San Francisco puts up 30 or 40, you could get most of their scoring production by just playing those two guys. So I'm going to the way I've been approaching a lot of these small slates is getting blocks of players and saying, okay, if I get most of the production out of this team, then where are the points going? CMC and Debo jamming those two dudes into a lot of lineups is going to be one of my favorites for the week. And just saying, look, I don't have to play Purdy. I can just play these two guys, and I'm getting all of San Francisco. But outside of that, man, like, I think Kadarius, Juju, Tyler Boyd are my favorite plays, if not going to Lamb and A.J. Brown. But this slate feels really freaking straightforward. Diggs is going to be super popular, but like we've talked about, Buffalo does all kinds of crazy stuff in the red zone, man. Like, their touchdowns go freaking everywhere. You could see Quinn Morris get a freaking touchdown. James Cook could get a touchdown. Yeah, exactly, man. Like, for me,
Cole Beasley last week.
Yeah, like,
and Crowder's coming back. I don't know if Crowder's back this week, but he's coming back too.
He's coming back too. Like, they're splitting the slot three different ways. Gabe Davis could score. Like, legit, Josh Allen, you could just, like, he is one of the best quarterbacks to make the argument to play naked, because there's so many different games where he gets there and he doesn't bring anybody along with him. Like, Diggs had a good game last week, but he didn't get in the freaking touchdown. So, like, you got the 100 yards, you got your 20 points, but, like, if, I mean, Chase lapped him. Like, Chase outscored him. Other guys can outscore him. And if he doesn't put up 25 to 30, you're probably saying, well, that's great and grand, and I felt good about playing, you know, building lineups this week, but Diggs didn't get there.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to make a lean on which one I'd want to play between the top two guys, I think I'd rather go Chase than Diggs. But
honestly, that game, I'm probably just going to be so underweight on that game. That game just feels...
It feels like it could pay off, like, going underweight, but it could also feel like that game could be like a 41-38 type game with these two offenses.
It does. Both defenses have been solid.
Like, Josh Allen's been turning the ball over at incredible rates.
Yeah.
I mean, they just allowed Skylar Thompson to almost beat them at home. And I know they probably were overlooking him a little bit and stuff like that.
That's a lot of their defense. That's a lot of the Dolphins' defense.
Oh, no, for sure. But both these defenses are very similar. Both of them do things at a very similar rate.
Yeah, because it's not like Skylar Thompson was driving the field on him over and over again. They had a lot of short fields. And
yes, because of turnovers and certain situations that went on in that game. Yes, for sure. But, like, it's also possible that game could go absolutely nuclear, right? Like, I don't think that you have to be overweight to either one of them, but if I had to choose, because Jamar Chase just consistently sees, I mean, you have to go back to week 13 the last time he didn't see double-digit targets. Like, the dude just sees consistently,
dude,
12 to 15 targets every single game. And, you know, obviously,
he's the red zone weapon. Absolutely.
Right. And so, like, if I'm going to pay up for one of those two, it would be Jamar Chase. But I also agree with what you said. Like, T. Higgins, $5,800. It's the first thing when I opened the site, I was scrolling through everything. I saw T. I was like, what the fuck is T. Higgins doing at $5,800? Like, but I also think that's going to force people to pay T. Higgins, or play a lot of T. Higgins, because he's too cheap. Like, it's extremely cheap for somebody that has, somebody that does carry a 30-point upside. I think a lot of people are going to chase Debo Samuel. And I know, you know, you laid out very well of why he's a good play this week. But I also think if you want to get leverage, I do think Brandon Ayuk does make sense at $5,000. He has
double routes are definitely a thing against Trayvon Diggs.
Yes.
Oh, and Trayvon Diggs is just sexy Marcus Peters. You could beat him in any freaking game with double.
I think Ayuk can torch him if he wants to.
Yep. Agreed.
So I like Ayuk as leverage off of Deebo Samuel at $900 cheaper. And if you're paying down, if you're wanting like some cheap options, Michael Gallup at $3,800. I know, you know, last week, you know, pretty solid game for him. 5-46 and a score, 15.6 at $3,800. Because like we have Marvin Jones. I already talked about Marvin Jones. He's seen, you know, starting to see a little bit more uptick of targets recently, but he does have a limited ceiling. You're probably looking at, you know, 12, you know, if everything works out and he finds the end zone, but he's still only $3,600. You know, if you're looking for something cheap. I don't know if I could pay it. Like, I know Isaiah McKenzie's had like big games this year, but now they have Cole Beasley and they have all these other weapons. Like it's just, he just seems really thin to get Isaiah McKenzie in there. So I don't think there's any other wide receivers that I want to get any lower than. Like, I'm not going down to 30. Like, if lowest I would go would probably be Marvin Jones, maybe Juwan Jennings, just because of, you know, whatever, maybe a build or something like that. If I had to get there, but here's the thing. If you're like, to me, why the fuck would you pay down that far when you could just go play double tight end? Because double tight end this week
yes,
extremely yep. viable, in my opinion. I think if we don't have any of us talking about wide receiver, this is a good flip to over to tight ends. Because I do think double tight end is very much in play.
The only other guy I want to get up in here, and we mentioned him at the top, was Isaiah Hodgins, because we didn't bring him back up when we went through wide receivers again. And the only thing I want to bring up about him is that since week 13, since he became a starter, he has been their red zone guy. Like, the fact that he's scoring touchdowns in almost every damn game is not fluky. He has 66.7% of their end zone targets since he became a starter in this offense. That is not even close. Richie James doesn't have the touchdown equity in this offense. Darius Slayton, they never even look his direction in the red zone. So I still like Hodgins, who might not get the yardage here, but could score twice.
Yeah, and he's still, I mean, he's $4,900. They priced him up, but not anything crazy. So, yeah. All right, so at tight end, we've already talked Travis Kelce, $7,700, and it's not even close to the next closest, who's George Kittle at 57, Dallas Goedert's 45, Ingram's 43, Dalton Schultz, who, I don't know what the fuck that dude has to do to get priced up even into the 5K range. Like, I feel like all fucking year we've been talking about Dalton Schultz and how cheap he is, and why DraftKings just hates Dalton Schultz, I guess, or just makes it, you know, force you to play him. But he's $4,200. Dawson Knox is 38. Hayden Hurst is 32. And then Daniel Bellinger, you know, was somebody we kind of talked about, like, but he found the end zone last week for a touchdown. But I don't know if I would want to go there. But that's pretty much the list. Like, I don't think there's any, like, super cheap guys, like, that you really just want to get crazy with, you know, like a Noah Gray or anything like that. I just don't think you need to do it. But on this slate, like the argument for Travis Kelce is he's Travis fucking Kelce, and he gets a 25% target share, and he could go absolutely just nuclear and score 40 DK points. Like, it's in his range of outcomes. He could have another 3 or 4 touchdown game. He does it a lot. And there's somebody that obviously they look heavily inside the red zone. But the flip side of that is, or you could just pay down at somebody like Dalton Schultz, who also in the last 3 weeks has been seeing a ton of targets. He gets looks in the red zone. And so Dalton Schultz, he's $4,200. And so, or what I was just alluding to, you could go double tight end, you can play them both.
Yeah, no, and Kev, I know I've played Kelce a good amount this year, and honestly, most weeks it's been because of how bad tight end is, and like Kelsey's the one guy that, you know, I feel somewhat good about every single week. This week, I actually, you know, I think I'm playing Kelce because I think he smashes. Like, I think this is at least 2 touchdowns, maybe 3, and 100 yards. This has Travis Kelce written all over it. And like, dude, I said,
Jacksonville is arguably the worst defense in the NFL against tight ends. Like,
and he hasn't caught a touchdown since week 12 against the Rams. So yeah,
I'm starting my builds
for
this
touchdown
week.
Regression.
I'm team Jamma Man, guys.
Yep.
I'm starting every one of my lineups, almost every single one of them, with I'm putting in CMC, I'm putting in Kelce, and then I'm figuring out the rest of it.
Yep, that is exactly what I'm doing. And I know it feels weird, like, paying the same price as for Kelce as, like, Ja'Marr Chase and Stephon Diggs. And
shit, he's the wide receiver one.
Yeah, and paying more for Kelce than, like, A.J. Brown or CeeDee Lamb. But, like you said, he's the wide receiver one. And he is – him and Chase are probably the only guys on this slate you can confidently say have two touchdown like, have a realistic shot at 2 to 3, maybe 4 touchdowns. Like, those are the only guys.
Agreed. So we played this thought experiment out with Kelce and Juju. I'm really curious, because as much as I love CeeDee Lamb and I really, really love Dalton Schultz, have we seen Lamb and Schultz smash in the same weeks? Because now that I'm playing this out of my head, I'm like, if I'm playing Schultz, am I playing Lamb? If I'm not playing Dak, like, what's that
last
like,
week?
Guys?
Last week it was Schultz and Gallup because Lamb got doubled. Tennessee, Schultz had 25 and Lamb had 24. So that, yeah.
Okay.
And then there was one other good Schultz, like really good Schultz game this year. That was, he scored 19 against the Giants.
Okay.
And Lamb had 21. So yeah, okay. They're definitely playable together.
Yeah, they're correlating together. So yeah, that's not a problem. Like, I think double tight end and honestly, like, we've kind of talked in previous episodes or previous years we've trashed like a little bit of double tight end, but like, to me it's all slate specific. And honestly, like, the way that the NFL is changing, if you were to tell me that, if you were to just take the positional designation and you're telling me I could play any wide receiver for like in the 4K range that could legit have two touchdown upside and 8 to 10 targets, then everybody be like, oh shit, like I'm playing that wide receiver. Well, that's the case with Evan Engram and Dalton Schultz. So it's like, what are we doing here? Like, yeah,
even Goddard too.
Yeah, dude, Goddard too. Goddard, I mean, you just talked about Schultz to smash the Giants. We've seen Hockenson smash them twice. Like, Goddard can absolutely – Goddard has the same type of ceiling.
He has a 27-point game against Houston. He went eight catches, 9 targets, 100 yards.
Goddard could go for 100 yards and 2 scores. He could. He absolutely could. So, give me all the double tight end action, man. Give me all that action this week. Like,
Goddard only had 4 games where he was under 10 points.
I've said it all year, man. Like, if Goddard got the same exact volume as Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews, people would mention him in the same damn breath. He is that freaking good.
He is. Yep.
Yeah. And then, you know, if you're running stacks with Burrow or you're running stacks with Josh Allen, I mean, Dawson Knox, Hayden Hurst are both guys you can plug in as options, I think. But
I agree on Knox, and I don't agree on Hurst. Like, the Buffalo Bills are a no-fly zone for me. It's them and the Saints. I will never play tight ends versus them.
Well, ever. I know it's like super – I mean, like super small sample size. But I think in that game against the Bills, I mean, that first drive and a half, he had like 3 targets. He had like – I think he had like 2 or 3 catches for 30 yards or something like that. But I wouldn't play them independent of a stack. Right. Like, I'm not looking to play them.
I think Buffalo is the only team in the NFL to not give up a receiving touchdown to tight ends. Y'all can fact check me on that, but I'm pretty damn sure.
I think you might be right.
Because the Saints have given up one.
The Bills are the only team without, yes.
Yep. No touchdowns. And if you got no touchdowns, then nope, you're not even on my radar.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm not going out of my way to. I think my three favorite probably on this slate are Kelce, Goddard, and Dalton Schultz. Of the three tight ends that I really want to play, I do think George Kittle is obviously in play. We've seen with Brock Purdy him be more involved in the passing game. Wasn't so much last week against Seattle, but you know, the other weeks prior to that, he saw 6, 8, 8.
Well, I don't want anything to do with Kittle, because I think if you look at Kittle, his splits, it was without Debo too. His splits without Debo on the field have been pretty big over the last few years.
Yeah, I'm just saying in terms of a guy that could, you know, it wouldn't shock me if Dalton.
But he could go overlooked. I don't disagree with that.
Right, because of where he sits in price and everything else. But for the most part, the three guys that I am focusing on are Kelce, Goddard, and Schultz. I don't mind Evan Engram. It's just, like I said, like I was talking about earlier, like, he is super boomer bust. He has weeks where he can see 11 targets. He has a lot of weeks where he sees two or three targets. Like, you just don't know really what you're going to get. Even with the first time these two teams played each other, he saw four targets, three catches for 14 yards. But, you know, again, he's also a guy that could break this, that could go off at his price tag at $4,300. So I think he's a little bit more of boom or bust for me. Again, I'll definitely have some ownership of him, but I won't have as much as I will Kelce or Schultz, and then, you know, Goddard as well. So
where do y'all think, and I guess I haven't thought through this enough, like, where do y'all think the ownership goes for tight end? Like, how does it kind of go? Like, because I'm kind of like, are people going to jam in Kelce like we're talking about, or are they going to say, well, I'd rather go play a wide receiver? And if that's the case, then who picks up the chalk? Is it Schultz? Because I kind of see it like, I think it's going to be Schultz. I think it's going to be Ingram. And I think Kelce comes in at third and then Goddard is fourth. But y'all, I mean, do y'all see this slate differently?
I think that I think Schultz and Kelce are probably the two highest owned. And I think it's probably a pretty decent margin with those two, because I mean, Schultz coming off a monster, a big game. I can see Schultz being less just because of the matchup and people are going to want to avoid Dallas against San Francisco. But I think Kelce probably still leads the pack, but I think it's probably more spread out too.
I think it's going to be spread out. Like, I think honestly, like, I think Kelsey's probably in the 30 to 35 range. And then probably looking at Schultz and Ingram around 25 each, and Goddard maybe 18 to 20, something like that.
Because the other thing I could see is that, like, Kelce's in his own tier, and then all of these 4K guys kind of cannibalize each other. Like, I could see that happening too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of people are going to play a tight end based on which quarterback they have, right? Like, true. If you're playing Hurts, you're going to gravitate to Goddard more than you would Schultz or Ingram. Well, and if you're playing Lawrence, you're probably going to play Ingram over the other two. And if you're playing Dak, you're definitely playing Schultz if you're playing Dak.
Well, because just thinking through it, I'm like, if Schultz and Kelce are going to be popular, if I'm looking for leverage as well, like running a double tight end team with Ingram and Dallas Goedert also makes a lot of sense to me. And then, like, if you're playing off the Kelce leverage, like I talked about earlier, playing Patty with Tony and Juju as Kelce leverage, and then you just go double tight end with Ingram and Dallas Goedert.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about opportunity cost, right? Like, when you don't play Travis Kelce, it's a matter of which high price guy you're jamming in at the other positions.
Yeah, agreed.
Like, which wide receiver that you think can smash when you're not playing Kelce, and which, you know, you're already playing CMC. So, like, if you're not playing Kelce and you don't want to play one of these high price receivers, then you're playing Barkley most likely. So it's like, it then becomes, you know, Barkley and a cheap tight end versus Kelce and you know, like a Miles Sanders type or a Miles Sanders and a cheap receiver.
If people play Kelce in the flex, like in pricing, who's around Kelce in pricing?
Chase and Diggs and Barkley.
McCaffrey.
Okay.
You're playing Kelce as a top 2 to 3 score on the slate is what you're playing.
So Kelce, to me, in that kind of thought experiment, Kelce's the leverage play then.
I don't disagree.
Because, I mean, just think through it. Like, all those other guys, we can craft narratives that they're probably going to be more popular than Kelce is.
I think like the Chase, Diggs, Kelce, I think they're all going to end up in like the 30 to 35 range. And same with McCaffrey. I don't think there's going to be one guy from the elites that really, you know.
Oh, I think Diggs is going to be more popular. I think Diggs is going to be in the 50% range, dude. People love to play Stephon Diggs.
Yeah. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like a Diggs slate like it did last week.
No, I know. But I mean, like, I know we're thinking that, but I don't think that the field is going to think that. I think that the field is going to say, well, Josh Allen smash, pair him with Diggs, let's go. And I think people just love, there's certain players that people love to click on. You know, it's like you never see Mike Evans chalky, but you always see Chris Godwin chalky. It's like people love to play Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, no, it's because of his floor. He's got, you know, one of the best floors.
Well, you just said it too. Like, nobody ever wants to play AJ Brown. There's not been a slate this entire damn year where AJ Brown has been more than like 8% straight
and
up.
And he won't be this week either. And it's like it's him versus Adoree Jackson, who's like what, 5'2"? And like, sure, I mean, Jackson's known for his speed, but AJ Brown's known for his size and physicality.
Like, AJ Brown can pump.
I mean, AJ Brown has just a high ceiling as Jamar Chase or
yeah, Stephon Diggs. Absolutely.
He just doesn't get the volume. He just doesn't get the volume. He does it on limited volume.
AJ Brown could go off 35 to 40 points, and nobody could be surprised.
And there's definitely games that he gets the volume.
Yeah, they're just not as frequent as the other guys.
Right. This is not a consistency.
Like you said, Chase, you have to go back to what, week 12 before he saw less than double digit targets?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's it. I wish AJ Brown got that treatment.
I do too, but you know. All right, let's jump over to defense here. Is there anybody that sticks out to you that's in the low tier range that you have any interest in?
I'm playing the Bengals and I'm moving on.
Yeah, I'm really not. I'm telling you, man, I'm personally not on that Bengals Bills game much. So $2,400 yep. Bengals D, and they've been a solid defensive unit all year. Like even
they
when
scored,
they
like double digit, like what is it, like the last 4 weeks in a row?
Yeah, and like they've never just gotten nuked by opposing offenses either. I mean, I guess there's been a couple road games where they have, like, they give up 30 to the Steelers, and there's another 30-point game they had, but I mean, they only give up 27 to Kansas City, and I think that might have been in Cincinnati, though. I can't remember, but yeah, $2,400 for the Bengals, and then if you can afford the Bills, I like the Bills D as well against that banged up O-line for Cincinnati.
I'm playing Cincinnati or I'm playing Jacksonville. That's really where I'm at. I'm punting it. Like, if the Bills and Bengals game fails, it's because the Bengals or the Bills defense goes off, or both of them. And just like we're talking about Cincinnati, like, Buffalo's offensive line has not been great all year. Josh
both
Allen
teams
has been
love to
really
throw.
Prone. Yep. Both teams love to throw. And Jacksonville, like I talked about, like, their top five in pressure rate. The problem is that, like, I'm not going to have as much exposure to them, but, like, look, if they're the last one in or I don't have the money and the rest of the build, I don't give a shit. Like, I never care about defense, man. Like, it's like whatever fits that I can fit everybody else in.
I played the Colts on that. What was the three game slate where it was the Colts blew a 30 something point lead. I played Colts D and they scored like two touchdowns in the first like 5 minutes, and they were like the min price defense, and everybody played Minnesota on the other side. But I had Colts D because they were the min price defense, not because I liked them, just because they were the last guy in, like you're saying. And Colts defense ended up with like 25 points.
Well, just like last week, everybody was so damn sure that Buffalo was going to rock the Dolphins, and the Dolphins were one of the best defensive plays in the entire freaking slate. Like, just go the opposite. Like, you know, everybody's going to be like, oh, Buffalo is going to, or, you know, whatever the popular team is that's going to trounce somebody else, just play the damn defense or play the leverage, man.
You can also play Jacksonville D with Chiefs players, because
you throw all those rules out
the window. If Mahomes throws
a
pick six
early, out the window.
If he throws a pick six early and he's down 7-0, you know, all bets are off from that point on.
I mean, for me, it's just, I mean, I'm going to play the leverage. I'm going to sit there and go against the narratives on most of this stuff. And the other thing, you can get exposure. It's like, okay, well, how does that game fail? How does Chase fail? Okay, well, Tyler Boyd goes for a big game. All right, well, I'm just going to pair Tyler Boyd with the Cincinnati Bengals defense. Okay, cool. Move on.
Yeah, I mean, so if you just look at it, one, I mean, I do think Dallas is an interesting defense to use as well. They have one of the highest, they have the second highest adjusted sack rate in the league, right behind Philadelphia, who has just a ridiculous 70 sacks this year. it's not fucking close.
They're really good at getting after the quarterback.
Yeah, 70 sacks. I think the next closest is 55, and that's the Chiefs. Who's the next close? Yeah. Chiefs are the next closest at 55. They had 70.
I'll throw this out here, too. I think the Eagles' defense is the worst play on the slate, straight up. The Giants limit turnovers like it's nobody else's business. I would not even consider the Eagles defense.
No, yeah. I was Dallas as well. I think you know, maybe maybe.
And it's Brock Purdy, right, in his second career playoff start.
Anything goes sideways. Maybe Turpin can finally take one back to the house. You know,
dude, I know we've been saying it all year. It's gonna happen.
Maybe this is the spot it happens. But you know, 31 or 3K, you know, they're kind of middle of the pack there of defenses. Yeah. So
I don't hate
if
that
you want
at
to
all.
Do that, like instead of going down, because man, I don't know if I can do Jacksonville play. Yeah, anything is possible. Maybe they, you know, they get a strip sack, or you know, Mahomes does, you know, does make some stupid decisions at times. You know, go $2,200 Jags, but I don't know. But I think 3K Cowboys, I think, could be the a nice little reference spot.
Yeah, I like that call, and then just pair him with, you know, like a mini stack or something like that, like CMC and Schultz, and play Dallas D or something like that for the value.
Yeah. So. Well, I think I don't really need to get too much further down the road of defenses. We made it through. I mean, not too crazy, especially with three people on an hour and 24 minutes. But we're not done. We still got.
I was going to say, we still have that. All that means is we have like about 40 minutes to build a lineup. That's all I heard.
Yep, yeah.
Matty D will not make it to the end of that if we're taking 40 minutes to build a lineup.
All right, you can hop off, Matty. We got this. It's all good.
Gramps needs to get to bed.
It's okay, so, football.
Let's build this lineup on DraftKings. D-Bro, you started off. You're the guest.
Where am I going? CMC.
Kelsey.
I was going to say, do it, Maddie. Come on. Do it.
That's where this is where my build will start this week. CMC and Kelsey, and I'm figuring out the
same,
rest.
Same.
Trevor Lawrence.
Love it. Christian Kirk.
Zay Jones.
How much money we got left?
$4,400.
Yeah, 44 per. For running back, wide receiver flex defense.
How much we got left plugging in the like the Bengals D?
Well, you skipped over Kev. Kev gets to go.
No, I was just curious.
5K.
So we plug in then, it takes us up to $5,066 per position if we plug in back.
Okay. All right. It's up to you, Kev.
Oh, man, I already locked in the Bengals. We might as well get that out of the way.
Right. Yeah, same.
You know what? We talked about it. We're going to do it. It works out in the flex, too. We're going to go Dalton Schultz.
All right.
So at least $5,500 for a running back and a wide receiver.
All right. I'm thinking through two V2s in my head. So we only got running back and wide receiver.
Yeah, you can do Sanders at running back, and then that leaves you Juju, Ayuk, Hodgins, Gabe Davis, Tony. You can do. Well, we said we weren't playing McKinnon, so.
What if you – so.
Because I was thinking about playing Tony, but.
Or what if you do Pacheco? Because if you're not playing Trevor Lawrence, or if you're playing Trevor Lawrence with a thought process of, you know, obviously the salary, but also if Patrick Mahomes doesn't necessarily get there, how does that happen? Well, obviously Travis Kelce's going to, you know, go off, but at the same time, that would also tell me that maybe Pacheco finds the end zone a couple of times or something like that, at least as a piece. But that's
I'm
just,
gonna
that's
play
thought process.
But I
really love the ceiling that we've already talked about. So
we talked about Kadarius Toney.
So we can change our defense. We don't have.
I
to
was
thinking
say we could go up to Dallas if we play Sanders or something like that. Can we get to them?
Yeah, we can play Dallas, and then we can play one of Pollard, McKinnon, and Sanders. We have salary for all three of those.
I mean, I don't mind going to Juju if y'all want to do that too. Like to me, it's just getting. But we talked about.
I don't want
to
play Juju and Kelce together.
That's, yeah, I was fixing to say we already have Kelce, so I don't want to do that. So yeah, Tony, I'm gonna stick with Tony, and we could just kind of figure the rest of the build if we want to move things around.
The other option is to go up to Mahomes and then drop down off Kirk. But then you're just completely changing the build at that point. But I mean, like playing these value guys, so like playing Zay Jones, Tony, and Schultz, you absolutely can fit Mahomes.
That's fair.
Because, like, you can play Mahomes, take off Kirk, and I put in, we'll just say Miles Sanders just for shits and giggles. It leaves me a $4,600 receiver. Like Tyler Boyd.
Boyd, Richie James. Hodgins is up to, what, $4,900, though?
Well, that's with Cowboys D also. So, like, I could drop that down to the Bengals.
Drop back down to the Bengals, and what are we
then at? I've got $5,200 per receiver. Juju, Ayuk.
But we don't want to play Juju and Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, so you could have Mahomes, CMC, Sanders, Ayuk, Zay Jones, Toney, Kelsey, Schultz, and Bengals D with 200 left over. Like that's a solid Mahomes build, but that's if you're blowing up the Trevor Lawrence build, which I don't necessarily think we should do.
No, I think we should stay on Trevor. Or if we go up, we just single like skinny Trevor up with Christian Kirk, and we go out get off of Zay. But I think if you're looking at Trevor hitting a ceiling, it's probably with a double stack. So we need either Zay or Evan Ingram.
Yep. Because you could just not play Zay and play Debo.
I was fixing to say, I would like – damn, I don't like that a lot.
Because you could single Lawrence with Kirk. So it would be Lawrence, CMC, Sanders, Kirk, Debo, Toney, Kelsey, Schultz, Bengals D.
Oh, I like that a lot.
$0 remaining.
Oh, I like that a lot. And even if you wanted to get off of Toney, you could also go to James. Or you could play Boyd. I think there's so much value on this slate that, like, you could jam in so many high-priced guys. I love this slate so much.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
I like that build you came up with, though, Maddie.
What was it again?
Lawrence, McCaffrey, Sanders, Kirk, Debo, Toney, Kelsey, Schultz, Bengals D, $0 left over.
Oh, that's so sexy, too. You have, like, Debo and Schultz mini. You have Kelsey Jags. You're basically getting exposure to, like, everything.
The only thing I don't necessarily love is just one receiver with Lawrence. But, I mean, if it's just, like, if Kirk is the one that goes off, I mean.
Well, the other thing is you're playing the leverage that somebody in that lower range that's a little bit less on than Zay is the one that outscores him. Is that's all the only bet that you're making. We could also come off of Toney and go to Richie James, get the mini for the Eagles and Giants game if we wanted to.
I really wanted to play AJ Brown, but I was trying to figure out a way to do it.
Oh man, we could. We can blow the whole damn thing up, play AJ Brown.
Well then we'd have to do
it. Yeah, you'd have to nuke it. Yep.
Yeah.
Or you would have to come off Kelsey and not play Kelsey, and then you'd have to play like Juju and stuff.
No. You definitely have to come off Debo. Oh, okay. So here's how you would do it. You would play Zay Jones over Kirk. 7,200 leaves you with Devontae Smith. AJ Brown, I would need $400 for that.
Or you don't play Schultz.
And get down to what, Ingram?
Swap Toney. You'd have to swap Toney to Richie James probably because that's 200 more. Then you can play Jags D and it would fit.
All right, I'm fine with it.
Man, I wish there was a cheaper. Brown. I wish there was just like a cheaper like running back that you felt like just like good about.
Oh, it's so bad this week.
I mean, sure you could play like Singletary or James Cook, you know, but it feels just super gross. Thin.
It's too thin to me. Like I don't know. It's hoping and praying that one of them gets like 12 to 15 points and makes the optimal. All of those running backs, those thinner running back plays, I'd much rather just play the wide receivers in that price range. That's the problem for me.
Yeah, Kev, that swap fits perfectly for Devontae Smith, but
or
that $400 is really
I don't know how I feel about playing these two together, but what you could do is this. So you can play Trevor Lawrence with Zay Jones. But man, you're only playing one Jacksonville player.
Yeah.
So that's tough to do. But Because what you could do is you could do that with Kadarius Toney and Kelsey. Then you'd have McCaffrey and Miles Sanders, and then you'd play Zay Jones, AJ Brown, Kadarius Toney, Travis Kelsey, and then play Michael Gallup in the flex.
Yep. With Bengals. Yeah, I saw that too.
What's Gallup's price?
$3,800. So you get a little mini there with Dallas and San Francisco.
Do we have anything left over, or is that pulling everything?
No, that is no monies.
Yeah, that's no chicken left on that bone.
Or I guess if you wanted to, you could not play Gallup, and you could play Marvin Jones. Then you'd have your two wide receivers. Now that's a little bit more thin. You know, you could do that too if you wanted your double.
Or you could play Gallup and swap Lawrence to Dak, and you still have a double Dak stack instead.
With who? Schultz and Lamb?
Schultz and Gallup.
Oh, Schultz and Gallup.
Yeah.
I'm not much on Gallup this week. I think he's a trap.
Yeah. Playing Gallup there is just solely to get AJ Brown in.
Yeah. I'd rather just find the 100 and get
which this is exactly why AJ Brown's going to be unowned. It's tough to fit him.
Well, yeah, if you're paying up for Kelsey, right? So like or if you're paying up for Christian McCaffrey, I guess. But
Tony's still in this lineup?
Yes. Yeah.
We could go with Tony to Tyler Boyd and get the extra 100 to get up from Gallup to Richie James.
Or I guess you could just keep Schultz. Actually, wait. I didn't think of that route. I'm just dropping Tony, only playing one chief. Because I mean, that's your run back would be Kelsey, expecting him to go off. You keep Schultz. All right,
here's your next thing, Jay.
Instead of doing that, and that still leaves you $3,700, which is kind of thin, but then you could still get Marvin Jones. All roads lead back to Marvin Jones. Or if, because like, I don't love playing AJ Brown and Sanders together.
Okay.
The issue is there's just no cheaper running back than Sanders.
I think if I was doing it, I would plug in Pacheco. If this was my lineup and I was building it, I think I would go to Pacheco, sacrifice that, and then go to Pacheco, expecting, you know, that if he could punch one in, and that would leave you with like a Richie James or a Michael Gallup that you could plug in, which I don't think you need to go to Dallas. So then you could go, you know, Richie James or something like that if you want. As a little mini correlation with Richie James and AJ Brown. I know it doesn't feel great with Pacheco, but I still think he has like 15 point upside, which is enough that what can give you with the rest of the stack. Because from there, you would have Lawrence,
Christian
McCaffrey,
Pacheco,
Zay Jones, AJ Brown, Richie James,
I'm
Kelsey,
with it.
Yep. Schultz.
Run it.
I'm down with it.
Or would you have enough to do Ingram, or is he more?
It's 43?
You could do that. So actually what you could do, we just keep fucking do this all fucking night, but you could go back off Schultz, play Evan Ingram. So then you'd have your double stack with Zay and Evan Ingram. You'd have Michael Gallup at wide receiver instead of Richie James. So that'd be Trevor Lawrence, Christian McCaffrey, Pacheco, Zay Jones, AJ Brown, Michael Gallup, Kelsey, Evan Ingram, and Bengals D. This is the life of building lineups on a 4-game slate. Trying to fit in all the dudes.
I was fixing to say we could do this all night.
I don't think we've ever had a lineup build. Normally they're like 3 minutes, and this is. So, is this what you guys want to lock in? Are you guys good with it at this point?
Yeah.
I mean, I consider we could do 2v2s for the next like hour and a half. I mean, we got 22 more minutes, so we can talk through some more 2v2s.
No, I'm out.
I'm fine. Peace, I'm fine with.
No, we're not doing that. All right. So, anyways, I appreciate you checking it out.
Catch y'all later.
We will, lock it in here. This is what we're locking in. No money remaining. I think it's a pretty good lineup. Lawrence McCaffrey, Pacheco, Zay Jones, AJ Brown, Michael Gallup, Travis Kelce, Evan Ingram, Bengals D. And that will do it for the DFS DJ Nation for the divisional round. We'll be back again next week for the championship week, which I think no matter which way you slice it, I think it's going to be really good. Whether that is whatever these matchups could be. So, championship week, only have a few more weeks left after this. We'll have that, and then we'll also have some showdown. We'll talk about Super Bowl once that gets here.
Is DK going to have the flag football? Because they normally had the Pro Bowl.
I know. I don't know. Maybe they will, or some skills competition type stuff. That would be build a lineup through that.
Dude, I will play the shit out of some flag football DFS.
Let's go.
I would love that.
I'll write a damn article on it. I don't give a crap.
That would be fantastic. So, anyways, I appreciate you rock with us. This went a little bit longer than we normally do, but wouldn't have it any other way. I appreciate you joining us, D-Bro, on the road, heading
always,
back
baby.
From Disneyland or Disney World. We got to get out of here because Maddie is about to fall asleep. This is way past his bedtime. He's a man now. Maddie DFS over here.
Daddy DFS.
That's a good handle. Should change
That's
that.
A good handle.
Yeah. So I appreciate everybody rocking with us. We'll be back again next week for the championship round. Let's win some money this week. If you would like, you can jump into our Discord. It's absolutely free as well. Where we have a DFS channel in there as well. So everybody have a good rest of the night. Have a good weekend. Let's enjoy some good football this weekend. And we'll see you guys again next week. We out.
Think you can tell me what to do? You know who you're talking to? Well, you better get used to the way the ball bounces. I see what you got in measures and ounces. But that's a break, boy. You're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. What? That's a brace, boy. Yeah. That's a brace, little man. Break it down. Tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. Just stop wanting me to be someone else. Be like a book on a shelf that you can be, boy. Yeah, that you can be, little man.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.